for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask, Lord, we ask for grace, Lord, that you'd pour out your spirit upon us and your love, and Lord, that your word, your truth, this grace of your love would be planted in our heart, shed abroad in our heart through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Lord, we turn to you, we're reliant upon you. We ask that you give us our portion tonight. Strengthen us, Lord, for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul begins this last portion of Romans 8 with, what shall we say to these things? You know, he's mentioning bringing up these things, the things that he, previous aforesaid mentioned, things that he's already covered. Things in Romans 8 and Romans 6 and Romans 5. Things like being justified by faith. Having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Good things. Blessings. Things like, you know, the grace that he's been talking about over and over again. The grace that gives us eternal life as a gift. Just simply because we believe in Jesus Christ. What shall we say to these things? These are some good things, man. He talks about receiving or living by faith. You know, setting your mind on the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. What shall we say to these things? In Romans 8, he talks about, introduces the delivering power and agent, the really what makes the difference in our life that brings victory to us, the Holy Spirit. And he talks about the Holy Spirit and the deliverance that the Holy Spirit can bring to our life from the bondage of the flesh. He brings victory. He empowers us, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit makes us sons and daughters of God, having received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. What can we say to these things? Having been born again, that our Creator touched our lives, drew us, and now we're saved. We have eternal life. Paul talked about the Holy Spirit and the help that the Holy Spirit brings to us, to our lives. He intercedes for us. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Inside help, the Holy Spirit within our lives. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within. In our hearts, what shall we say to these things? Paul, last week we ended up in verse 28, 29, 30, you know, about all things working together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You know, the Bible tells us about God's providence, that he works all things together for good. And what can we say about these things? I told Adam I might use this his testimony, his story, what happened to him the last few days as an object lesson. He just got into an accident, totaled his car, had full coverage insurance, wasn't hurt, and now he's driving a, isn't that a Pontiac Vibe out there? Yeah. 34 miles to the gallon. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. What shall we say to these things? That God is for us, he blesses us. Paul says, you know, he mentioned the providence of God. He mentioned that whom he called, he predestined, the predestination. He chose us according to his foreknowledge. He knowing our decisions in advance, working all things together. What shall we say to these things? And then in verse 30, last week we wrapped up. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? I mean, you can't say much. I mean, what can you say? You know, the truth of the gospel and the promises that God gives us, that one day we will be glorified, having a glorified body. When we see him, we'll be like him. The Bible tells us. What can we say to these? Does anybody have anything to say about these things? What can you say about these things? In truth, you know, what can I say? Paul bringing up, you know, the truth. Hey, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? If, that means since God is for us. God is our ally. God is our friend. God supports us. God is for us. For our good, the Bible tells us. For us in the cause of Christ. We pursue him. He conforms us into his own image, the Bible tells us. We accept him. We follow Christ. All things work together for good. We love him. He loves us. The Bible says he's for us, conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, the Bible tells us. Paul talks about, you know, who shall be against us? You know, wrapping up this chapter, you know, if God is for us, who shall be against us? Kind of like a comparison, you know. I remember years ago, I started a little carpet company in Orlando. And when I started, I was, you know, filling out credit apps, you know, for the mills and stuff. And they sent me this one financial thing. I had a Dun & Bradstreet or something, it's called. And in the Dun & Bradstreet, you have to fill out all the your liabilities and your, you know, assets and your credit, your debits, your gains, your losses. You know, you have a real evaluation of your company and comparison, you know, what your company's really worth. I didn't have anything to put on that paper. Just beginning. But the truth is here, he's saying, you know, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, a comparison. You know, God being for us versus, you know, who or what can be against us. He goes on to really explain the extent of how much God is for us. In verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. You know, the Bible tells us of God's love. You know, we talk about in Genesis 22 where Abraham was tested, in a great test of faith. Where the Lord spoke to Abraham and says, take your son, your only begotten son, up to Mount Moriah and there sacrifice him to me. The Bible tells us that Abraham obeyed, took his servant, went up to Mount Moriah, headed up the hill, tied his son down on the altar, and went to slay him. And as he was slaying him, an angel withheld him from slaying his son. You know, but as a type of God giving up his son. But God didn't withhold his own son. The Bible says that he delivered him up for us all. How much God is for us. did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. The Bible tells us that for what the law could not do, delivered him up for us all. God did. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. You know how much God is for us. Becoming a man, condescending, humbling himself. You know, the Bible tells us that he came here out of love for his creatures, because he loves us so much, and he submitted himself, you know, to the cross. The Bible says he condescended, became a man, became one of his creatures. Then he subjected himself. He submitted himself in obedience to being nailed to the cross in our place, the Bible tells us. You know, he delivered him up for us all. How much God loves us. You know, how much God is for us. The Bible tells us, who could be against us? He delivered him up for us all. You ever hear that one hymn that opens McGee's, J. Vernon McGee's radio program? You know, what more can he do that he's already done? You know, how much God is for us, delivering up his son, giving up his life in our place. He loves us. Doing a comparison, Paul goes on, you know, how shall we not with him, or how shall he not with him freely give us all things? You know, as he's explaining how much God is for us, he uses, you know, he didn't withhold his own son. He gave everything to us, giving his best, you know, subjecting himself to the cross. How much more will he also, with Christ now at his right hand, freely give us all things? If he gave everything, he gave his best, how much more will he not give us everything? Freely give us all things. According to the same measure. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalms, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Psalm 84. We're going to do a little looking at some things that God has for us and has given us. Do a little cruise through Corinthians here. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There are a few verses in Corinthians. In chapter 2, verse 12, how much more? Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God wants us to know the things given to us freely. Look in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians, verse 21. Therefore, let no one glory in men, for all things are yours, given us all things. Look in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. God's objective, to receive the glory. Giving us all things for that purpose, to bring glory to him. Conforming us into the image of his son, the Bible tells us. Subjective purpose. The Bible tells us in Revelation that he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Bible tells us, Jesus, you know, explaining how much God desires to give us, the Holy Spirit said that, you know, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more does he desire to give us the Holy Spirit? The Bible tells us, you know, that when we receive his Holy Spirit, a true spirit comes in, a spirit of Christ. That's how we become born again. The truth, how he gives us life, how he gives us sight, how it makes sense, how he turns us on, turns the lights on. The deliverance he brings. Paul, hey, all this God is for us. All, how much more? I mean, what more could he do? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? He continues in verse 33. Since God is for us, who can bring a charge against God's elect? Paul goes on to say it's God who justifies. You know, Paul, in his argument, really is clearing God as being the one who comes against us, who brings charges against us, not God who brings charges against us. You know, the Bible tells us the source of the ones, or the source of who does bring charges against us. The Bible tells us it's the world, the people in the world, the flesh, our own sinful nature, and the devil, our spiritual foe, or the demonic demons that are assigned to our families. They're not as powerful as Satan, but they do attack us and they have power. You know, those that come against us, they bring charges against, railing accusations against us. But Paul is saying, hey, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. He's saying, you know, the charge wouldn't stick. Kind of like Teflon. You know, he's at our right hand, or the Bible says that God's right hand, making intercession for us. He pardoned us. We have an acquittal. It's God who justifies. He doesn't bring a charge against us. He's for us. He's our advocate, the Bible tells us, on our side. Paul goes on to say, who is he who condemns? It's not Jesus who condemns. Jesus said, I came to save, not to condemn. You know, but who is he who condemns? You know, there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation, when it comes and assaults our mind, makes us feel unworthy. We turn from God. We don't want to get close to God. You know, we're condemned. You know, condemnation, you know, cuts us off from God. Who is he who condemns? You know, the Bible tells us, Job, on the other hand, was convicted. Now, the Holy Spirit will convict us of our sin. He'll deal with our hearts. He'll put his finger on our, you know, issues, and we're in dealings with him, just like Job. Job coming up, you know, and responding, hey, I'm the man. Who is he who darkens counsel without knowledge? It's me, Lord. I'm the one. I'm the guilty party. I've been talking about things about you that I know not of. And him stepping up, or David, you're the man, you know, being convicted, turning to God. The Holy Spirit working in us brings the urge and the desire to confess our sins. He's for us. He brings the right, true response and action from our heart. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm wrong. I've been cut off. I don't hear you. The truth of how God is for us and his love and the Holy Spirit in us and his deliverance. The difference between condemnation and conviction. He said, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. For us. Over and over again, for us. Pleads our case. He's our advocate defending us. You know, if you got in trouble, who would you like to defend you? You know, Matlock or Perry Mason? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, our advocate, pleading our case. Making intercession for us, the Bible tells us. He's on our side. He's for us. Praying for us. On our behalf. The Bible tells us he's for us. Then Paul, at the end of this chapter, passage, turns to God's love. In verse 35, who can separate us from the love of Christ? He goes through this list, you know, the argument. God is for us. He's given everything to us. He's our support and friend as long as we're assuming the cause of Christ. What can separate us from his love? And then he goes through this list. Shall tribulation, trials, problems, will they separate you from the love of Christ? Who or what can separate us from the love of Christ? He says, shall distress? That means like hardships or problems. How about persecution? The Bible tells us in the book of Acts when the church was persecuted, it multiplied. In China, the same thing happened. When you come against the church, it's like you step on, a flame and it doubles. Persecution can't stop Christ. Can persecution separate you from the love of Christ? How about famine, in all truth? When I'm hungry, actually when I'm fasting, I'm closer to him. It doesn't separate me from him. He says, how about nakedness? How about if you sleep in your underwear? Are you separated from the love of Christ? How about peril? That means danger. Sword. War. What or who can separate us from the love of God? I was thinking about when the Twin Towers fell. Did that separate us from Christ? That's probably one of the biggest happenings in our last decade. Brought a lot of confusion. What's going on? Is this the end? Yet, the truth is, did it separate us from the love of Christ? Not one iota. All things work together for good, the Bible tells us. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Doesn't separate us from the love of Christ. Verse 36, Paul goes on. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You could be killed all day long and not be separated from the love of God. I remember being in Denver with my uncle and my dad on a moving vans trip. We were moving furniture across country and we were in Denver. And we stayed at this little hotel and it was right near a pig slaughterhouse. Man, did it stink. It was a stench. If we all lined up and went through the slaughterhouse, the truth is, we wouldn't be separated from the love of God, the Bible tells us. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Through Christ, we have the victory. In verse 37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's interesting to, realize that who's writing this. I didn't write it. The Holy Spirit wrote it through Paul. And Paul went through a lot of peril and tribulation and troubles and dangers. And he lists some in 2 Corinthians. He says that he was whipped or stripes 5 times. He was whipped. He was in prison. He even died. And now he's talking about what can separate us from the love of Christ. He went through perils. He was 3 times beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He went through perils in the water, robbers and Gentiles, countrymen, in the city, in the country. He had all kinds of problems. And yet, now he's writing to us at the end of his days, talking about what can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. He goes on at the end in verse 38, talking about his persuasion. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. The Bible tells us Jesus loved his disciples to the end. God's love. God's love is makes all the difference. We were watching a program on Discovery Channel the other day about El Salvador and the gangs in El Salvador. And there's killings every day. And these two you know, gangs against one another, crackheads, drugs, problems. But the similarities when you hear their testimonies, you know, family breakdowns, their mother moved away, the lack of love. And how love, you know, I wager, you know, to guess, you know, you interview prisoners in prison today, you know, 90% or above weren't loved, or lack of love. But the love of Christ, who can separate us? The healing agent of God's love. We were counseling the other day this young couple that are going to get married, and they have, she has, he has two daughters, young daughters, and you know the future of them daughters, and God's love and plan for the future of his family, for his not only his marriage, for his life personally, God's love, and him, you know, at bay, at odds, not understanding how much God loves him and what God wants to do with him. And how much God loves his daughters and how they are to be raised and trained up. God's love. How important, you know, persuasion or influence or healing agent God's love is. In truth, he loves us. I remember when I was younger, I had a vision of my dad. And my dad just got out of jail. And he opened up and he was like beaming in countenance. He says, he looked down at me, he says, "You don't understand. Jesus loves me. He loves me." Later on in life, my dad got arrested, went to jail, came out of jail, serving Christ, last 12 years of his life. God's love changes lives, heals us. You know what difference it makes to us, and nothing can separate us from God's love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Hang on to that, you know. Talk about a dream cruise. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your word, the truth that's in your word. Lord, the realization and the reality that not only you love us, but that you pour out your love in our hearts for others. I hope that does not disappoint, and that the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And Lord, we ask that you continue to conform us into your image. Lord, give us ears to listen to your voice. Give us a heart in sync with your heart. Give us eyes to see through your eyes, Lord. See with your vision. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you're for us, Lord. And that you're for us. Who or what can be against us? Nothing can be against us. Lord, we praise you, and we thank you, and we ask that you plant your word in our heart to radically change us, Lord, from the inside out, for your purpose, for your glory, that we live our days on earth for you, for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have another song? Maybe you can get one together, and we can pray. Is there any prayer requests? You can be seated. You have any prayer requests tonight? Sarah.
You mentioned the Dream Cruise for outreach there.
Oh, are you going to go? All right. Can you take your Mustang?
It'll be involved somehow.
You can borrow our Metro if you want. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you. And we thank you for your love and the blessings, the promises that you're for us. Lord, all things are for us, and all things work together for good. And if you're for us, who can be against us? Who or what? Lord, we do agree with Sarah and Jonathan. We hold her up before you. We ask that you will lay your hand upon her, Lord, and that you would touch her body and the root of this pain, Lord, that you would heal and remove and bring relief. Lord, you know what's going on, and we commit her into your care, and we seek your grace and your mercy and your love. Bless her, Lord. Help her. Free her. Touch her. Give her energy. Lord, touch her body to be mobile and without pain, Lord, for your purpose and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, we hold up Chris and this upcoming Dream Cruise. Did you want to pray, Chris? Why don't you pray and your heart. Yes, sir. Amen. Anybody else? Overall, okay, and Brent, Lord, we do come before you, and we thank you, Lord, that when we pray according to your will, you hear us, and when we know you hear us, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of you. And Lord, we do agree with Chris, Lord, that you intervene and bring perspective and understanding, wisdom, and guidance, Lord, to his present and with employment or a job, direction. Lord, we hold him up and agree with him, and we ask that you intervene, Lord, that you open a door. He will see your hand, Lord, and follow you. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We hold up Brent and his situation between jobs and Lord, do intervene with him and show him the plan that you have for him, the job that you have for him. And Lord, let him sense your hand, your control. All things work together for good. And Lord, let him know you're in control. And we just commit Chris and Brent to you. And Lord, we praise you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Lord, we look to you, and we do hold up the body here, Lord, and any physical problems or pain that the body's in, Lord, we pray for the health of the body here. We pray for Sarah, we pray for Walt, and those that are hurting, Lord, Diana and Val and Laura and her joints and Val and his leg and Lord, yes, Lord, you know, and we do hold up the body. We ask that you will move through your body with your touch, your healing touch, Lord, and your goodness. We pray for relief and mobility. We pray for strength. Lord, you're our beloved physician, and we come to you with this church and body and the families and the people here, and we look to you, Lord, for help, for deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen. Healing. Yes, Lord. We look to you and hold up this church and the people that you brought here, Lord, the body that you've drawn and put together, the flock here, Lord. And you are a shepherd, Lord, and we look to you to care for your sheep and provide. And Lord, we ask that protect. We ask that you put a spiritual hedge around the families and the people that come to this church, and Lord, cover them with your blood. Lord, we look to you spiritually. Be the head of all principality and power. And Lord, for provision, you said in the scripture, the Bible says that I was young and now I'm old. Never once have I seen a righteous man beg bread. And Lord, we turn to you for provision, for financial needs, sustenance, wherewithal. Lord, we need you. We look to you, Jehovah Jireh. And Lord, we ask that you care for all the needs here in the church and the people here that are represented, and the families, relationships with one another. Lord, the hardship, whatever each and every family and person, individual is going through, Lord, we ask that your grace, your hand be upon, Lord, that you would bless and bring them to the next step, that you would speak and they would hear, they would respond, you would touch and they would grow. Lord, we need you, and we thank you for your love and your goodness and your grace and your mercy. We ask that you pour out your spirit upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, Lord, we do. We hold up our family members. And Lord, if there's anyone that comes to this church, Lord, that doesn't know you, that's not bought and paid for, Lord, by the precious, redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray for their soul, that you would draw them and turn the lights on and show them the truth, plain and simple. Lord, that you drop the scales of deception, darkness, the clouds that impede you, Lord, in your truth and your love and your presence and your spirit. And Lord, we do pray for our families, each family member, our siblings, our uncles and aunts, parents and grandparents, and Lord, those that are in our tribe, Lord, that you placed us in. And Lord, you faithfully and lovingly and graciously touched us and saved us. And Lord, we pray that you do the same, that you would deliver our family members. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Lord, we pray for salvation for our family members, and that you continue, Lord, that your faithfulness, you're so faithful and you're so good. And we hold up our families to you and the keeping and the preserving and keeping them in your hands and keeping us in your hands, and the long haul and the duration, finishing, Lord, this race, and with strength and faith and favor. Lord, we look to you. Keep us free from bondage. Lord, we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.